So the last three times you've heard from me was on grace, on love, and here's the trifecta if you're a racing person. I'm not. I tried it once, but never prevailed. So the power of prayer. It's hard to believe that we are now only a few days away from the new year starting. December is coming to an end. And we have a new year itching to start, and it's coming at us very quickly. I don't know about you, but I don't often like this place. I'm sad for a few reasons this morning, but often I don't like this finishing one year and looking at the new year because I'm so filled with different emotions. And, you know, because some of us, we have looked back in this year and we've had some really wonderful things happen. And we thank God for them, and we don't want to leave them behind, do we? We want to linger, let them linger a bit. We just don't want to move into next year and let it all be discarded to history. And yet, there's some of us this morning who this year has been just awful, just terrible. And so the thought of a new year coming actually gives us a little bit of hope that we might move away and things will get better. And of course, a lot of us got a foot in each camp, haven't we? And this is the place that I feel, the tensions of the good, the indifferent, and the other. But whether we like it or not, next year is coming. And the only thing that will stop it is the Lord's return. So let's start praying, shall we? But a question. If you had the opportunity to go into next year or the Lord's coming, which one would you choose? No-brainer. But sometimes we hold on to life, don't we? You know, we go through those bad moments, we go through the good ones, and we're always hoping that it's going to get a little bit better. And so we hold on to it really hard and tightly. And so I wonder sometimes that, you know, I think it was Augustine who said that we should live yesterday as though Christ died, today as if Christ had risen, and tomorrow if he is coming. And I think that we should live in that tension, in that sweet spot. But next year is coming. So we find ourselves coming up to New Year's. And often, as human beings, we make this New Year's resolution. And I wonder what it will be for you. What it will be for myself. I haven't worked it out. You know, what will next year hold for me that will help me feel more fulfilled or have more purpose in this life? You know, for some of us, that prayer would be to find love. For some of us, it would be to know forgiveness. Or maybe to give forgiveness. To find a career or a job. To get a house. Maybe my health will be better next year. Maybe not to stress and worry so much. And the list goes on. Ultimately, I think if we cut all that away, ultimately, I think we'd all want to come to a place where we would know a lot more peace and maybe a little bit more happiness in our lives. Cut away everything else. And as long as I've been a Christian, I have found out that the source of true peace and happiness can only come from God himself through faith in Jesus Christ. So I believe the closer that we get to him, the more trust and our faith will grow. And it's like any relationship. If we do not put the work in on a human level, husband and wives, parents and children, if we do not talk, if we do not engage, guess what? We grow apart. And it's the same with our spiritual journey. If we do not put the time in, the investing that time into our relationship with God, and one of the key ways we do that is putting time aside in prayer. So I hope maybe that maybe top of our list this coming year, our New Year's resolution, will be to ask God to give us the wisdom, the strength, and discipline to put prayer at the top of the list. How you work that out is a different story, but that's what we want. C.S. Lewis wrote this: prayer is not an argument with God to try and persuade him to move things our way, but an exercise by which we are enabled by his Spirit to move ourselves his way. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's about a heart-to-heart communication. And one of the scriptures that highlights this so well is found in Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And guess what? He said, I will listen. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. What a powerful piece of scripture that is, which has so much within it, but at its very core, it is God wanting to have a heart relationship with us, his children. So a good question to ask ourselves this morning is, how's it going? How's it going? Did you have an hour's quiet time before you came to church this morning? No, I doubt it. Got baby crying, got to feed, change nappies. We're all busy, but some of you might have. But where is our heart in relation to this prayer? And I want to only share this message not only for you, but it's for me myself, because I struggle. I struggle in the busyness of life and the pulls from different direction to meet with people or their expectations, and I struggle. So this message is not only for you, it's for me as well. Prayer has to become that spiritual discipline that we need to incorporate within our lives, and it can only take root in our lives if we make an effort day by day to place it within our lives. It's not going to be easy, because guess who doesn't want you to pray? Satan. He wants your mind focused on everything else. All the worries of the world. All the worries of the family. All the worries of their economy. All the worries that are happening there. If we're busy focused on that, we will not be focused on prayer and communicating with God. You see, it's about self-denial. It's about sacrifice, moving into that place of allowing prayer to be part of that journey, big part of our lives. We must remember that self-denial, it's very biblical. And this, you know, comes most powerfully at the cross, where Jesus calls us to pick up our cross, our self-denial, and to follow him. It's at the cross Jesus calls us to die to our selfish ambitions, our selfish ways, so that he can be foremost in our minds and in our hearts. So, spiritual barometer of the church, I want to talk about that. What makes a church healthy? What makes a church healthy? It has been said by many Christians down through the ages that one can see how well a church is going in its spiritual walk by looking at how many people in that church come to prayer. Yes, we could say that our church is spiritually healthy by the numbers of people that we see come in by each Sunday morning. We're a pretty big church. You know, I wonder how those churches of 10 or 15 cope. We get encouragement when 200 or 300 turn up on Sunday. You think, I'm not alone. I'm surrounded by these brothers and sisters of mine. But is that the real desire that we need? Yes, we could say that our church is spiritually healthy by these numbers. But is that the true barometer to test how we're going spiritually ourselves? I'm a great believer at the end of the day, if the church is going to pray together, it will stay together. Sure, I know we'll get a job in Christchurch or in Invercargill or whatnot, but a church that prays together will stay together through thick and thin. This passage from Chronicles, I haven't got that one in here, I'll read it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. When the community comes before God and says sorry, I think God listens. He certainly listens to our individual prayers, no doubt about it. But when a community, the body of Christ, comes together, there's another dimension, I believe, altogether. So here lies, I think, an untapped spiritual experience that many churches in the West could be missing out on. And it's causing spiritual poverty to grow within the church, especially in our Western world. There are many blessings that come from a united gathering of believers when they come together in prayer. The first one I want to mention is that the spirit of prayer is deepened. You see, God takes us to new levels of faith when we pray. Because when we pray, we're saying to God, we cannot do it in our own strength. I have to give myself to you again, because it's only you that will get me through this time. To be praying alongside other people allows our spirits to connect in ways that we don't get when we pray by ourselves. Now, I'm not saying, definitely the scripture says, go into your room by yourself and pray. But there's an aspect of corporate prayer that is powerful and I think is untouched within the Western world. By hearing the prayers of others encourages us. I've been to prayer meetings here when we only have 15 come, and I've talked to a person who hasn't prayed the whole evening, and I didn't go and say, why didn't you pray? I said, how was it? He said, it was so encouraging to hear my brothers and sisters praying. I can remember when I first became a Christian, I think for the first year I didn't pray once. I went to these prayer meetings. I thought, what were they all about? But it was so encouraging to hear my brothers and sisters bringing up those prayers. You know, some of them were painful. Some of them were celebrations. And I think I grew more as a Christian being in these community prayer times, to hear what God was doing in these people's lives. Corporate prayer can intensify our love and unity within the body. As I said, I think I grew more as a young Christian at the age of 26, something like that, wasn't it? Yeah. It was these prayer meetings that I grew spiritually, because I could hear the heart of my brothers and sisters. You could hear the weight of the things they were carrying, and they lifted it to God in prayer. And you could hear the joy in their hearts as they lifted that to God. I grew more as a Christian, I think, in those corporate prayer times as I listened to my brothers and sisters communicating with God. Well, and not to mention the pastor who preached from the front, but it was those prayer times. Charles Finney said, nothing tends more to cement the hearts of Christians than praying together. Never do they love one another so well as when they witness the outpouring of each other's hearts in prayer. So true. So true. Faith is strengthened through prayer. One author states, the more you hear others joining in prayer for the same needs, the stronger your faith tends to become. You become encouraged by the way God is giving faith to these people, and you become more persevering and more consistent in prayer for the need as you find others persevering for the same concerns. It is good to go away to our bedroom, to kneel at the foot of our bed. I don't do that because I've got sore knees. But whatever prayer position you like, long as it's praying. But the dynamic and move of God's Spirit when two or more are gathered, when 10 gather, when 20 gather, when 50 gather, when 200 gather, oh, it's a whole new level of spirituality. There is a buzz about the place. The united prayers of believers seem to intensify spiritual power. It's not that when we come 10 is any more powerful than 2,000. But I tell you what, if you've been praying faithfully with three others and then join 1,000 other people praying, ooh, your heart quickens. Something is going on here. Something is going on. There are many scriptures that speak about a united prayer that is needed to overcome the obstacles, especially the evil one. In Romans 15:30, Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join with me in the struggle by praying to God for me. 2 Corinthians 1:10-11, he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. We need our brothers and sisters to support us. And if I know I'm being prayed for, oh, that lifts my spirit. Because I know by myself, I struggle. And we need that spiritual corporate identity of prayer. Philippians 1:19, I know that through our prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. It gives us hope. When I know that there's 200 people praying for me, oh, that changes my situation. I might still feel bad, feel down, but I have hope. If I know the church is praying for me. You know, being a pastor over these years since... when? 1994. There are struggles that I have to go through just to understand who I am, let alone trying to understand other people, and let alone trying to understand God. But when you know people have got your back in prayer, how much forward momentum we make in their lives is huge. It's huge. God wants his children to be united in their prayer life, and if they are united here, there will be a united church. And when God sees that the church is united, then I'm almost positive that kingdom power will be released. Not denying that a person who faithfully gets on their knees every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning or every night before they go to bed does not release the power of God, because it does. But when a whole community comes together, that is a whole new ball game. God says, aha, they now know what it means to be the body of Christ. That releases something in the spiritual realm that is powerful. One of South Korea's most well-known pastors is Yonggi Cho. He spends an hour and a half in private prayer in the morning. And then from 10 p.m. through to 6 a.m. on Saturday night, this is old figures, it could be a bit more, a bit less, but there would be 15,000 people come to those prayer meetings. 15,000. 15,000. And the rest of a member of his 20,000 plus church, they meet in prayer cells and they pray. They pray for revival, not only in South Korea, but in North Korea and throughout the world. There is something so powerful in the spiritual realm when believers come together and unite their hearts and minds and voices in prayer. God hears these voices, not only in our room when we're there in our private prayer, but he hears the noises of the hundreds, of the thousands. If we want revival to come to New Zealand, oh, by the way, can you just show me your hands? Who wants revival to come to New Zealand? I think it's a good thing, don't you? The only problem with it is that you might pack out the church and you might find some Christians who think different than you. Some might like louder music. Some might like quieter music. But their hearts are united because they believe this God will answer their prayers. J. Edward Orr said that no great spiritual awakening has begun anywhere in the world apart from united prayer. Christians persistently praying for revival. And it's encouraging. When I go to our monthly prayer meeting and there's 15 others, I would like the whole church to be there. But I have 15 brothers and sisters. When you pray together, it's a different feeling. It's a different feeling. So, this coming year, as this year opens up for each one of us, no matter where we find ourselves in this coming year, whether we are of broken heart, whether we are of good heart, whether we are facing family situations or health situations or anything else that happens in this world, I honestly believe that if our faith is true, and I don't know how you gauge that, to be honest, because we all have good days and bad days. Is that pretty much right? But if one thing is consistent through those good days and bad days, is that if we can come before God, not only at home, but also as a church body, I believe we'll see God move differently. We see him heal this nation. We want him to heal this nation. We want him to heal this world. We want him to heal us. Because we all are carrying stuff. I know. I'm your pastor. If you haven't told me, someone else has told me about you. It's called the spiritual grapevine. But be careful on that one. To be in a place of spiritual connectedness with God, not only privately in our prayer rooms, but together when our brothers and sisters sit in a room, 5, 10, 15, 100, 200, 400. You cannot tell me that does not quicken your heart. Say, oh, I want to be part of this. So my prayer, and it's always been my prayer, is that prayer will become a place not only that is seriously central in my own life, but it will become seriously central in all my brothers and sisters' life. So I move on from here. 5th of January is my last service. But I only move on physically. I don't move on spiritually. My heart will always be here, as it was my first church that I went to in Invercargill, Georgetown, when I first became a Christian. My heart will be with you because I have engaged with you in so many different levels. But what unites us more than just going having a cup of tea with one another or sharing a hard experience with one another is the ability to pray with one another. So my hope, my prayer, is that God will bring revival to his church in a way that will see prayer become so powerful. And I know, and I'm not just relating to numbers here, it is powerful when one or two gather in his name. But there's something different, something quite special when 10 believers come together, when 50, when 100 come together, when 2,000 come together. something special happens. God births in us a new dream, a new desire. And it comes from the Father's heart. So my prayer for me, and my prayer since this is my last message at Central Baptist, is that no matter where we go in life, how far God separates us, we are still brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that the greatest thing that God could ever do within our lives is to strengthen our faith journey. And one of the most potential ways of that happening is if brothers and sisters come together in prayer. So, let's pray. Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning to thank you that you love us with a love that saw your Son go to Calvary. That through your death, and resurrection, we can come to know life in all its fullness. Father, we confess today that we cannot do this journey by ourselves. We need our brothers and sisters. And we need you. Oh, Father, help to ignite our hearts for the burden of prayer. Help us spend time daily, individually, but also corporately, that we may trust you in all things. Trust our lives individually. Trust our families. Trust our body of Christ. Trust our nation. And trust our world into your care through prayer. Oh, Father God, send your Holy Spirit and ignite a revival of prayer. That yes, that Father, that in prayer you can see our hearts and what is truly going on. So, Lord God, come. Holy Spirit, come. Reignite our hearts for this desire. Not only pray in ones and twos, but pray in tens and hundreds. Lord, you love our prayers. You love our hearts. Oh, Father, work through all of us, young and old, to see your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven.